August Thaw Faltaroiv Egg a Glora Corgi. You're very welcome along to tonight's edition of The Late Session. A special programme for you tonight. We have a concert recorded during the West Cork Traditional Music Festival, which took place in the beautiful surroundings of Bantry House last August. There was a wonderful lineup of musicians there performing for the week. The musical director was Martin Hayes, whom we'll hear very shortly introducing our musical guest for tonight. This concert was recorded by Lyric FM, and the sound engineers were Pat Hogan and Owen Brady. And tonight on the programme, we feature the music of Illan Piper Liam O'Flynn, introduced to you here by Martin Hayes.
He learned his music originally from Leo Rousham, and his father was a fiddle player. And he then came in contact through his mother, I suppose, with Milltown Malbay in County Clare and the music of the great piper Willie Clancy. And he absorbed that music because the piping tradition is one where it's almost a secret society. They have a code unto themselves, and they relate to each other's difficulties around the instruments. So fiddle players would never really know what the interior world of a piper was. Nonetheless, it's one where the tradition has to be, I suppose, handed on in a very direct manner. And to get the insight and the inside track on Willie Clancy is a gem in itself. And to combine that then with the knowledge of Seamus Ennis, who was one of our great folklorists and musicians, I suppose, of all time. And then you have Liam O'Flynn, who's in a sense carries all of that tradition with him and more, and has taken the pipes, I think, into the concert hall in a most elegant way, in a way that few musicians would have done previous to him. He worked with Planxty, because, you see, he was from Kildare, along with other Kildare musicians like Christy Moore and stuff, so I suppose it was natural that they would come together. And in all of that, that was where many of us first got to know his piping. He went on from that then, I suppose, to do the music of Sean Davey. He went on to do his own band, his own projects. He toured with Mark Knopfler even, and he has since then teamed up with, in the world of poetry, with Seamus Heaney, and they're doing wonderful work also. But the bottom line here is that we're absolutely proud and delighted to have the fantastic Illan Piper and master of his instrument. Put your hands together for Liam O'Flynn.
A wonderful place to be making music. Martin has given you some background on me, and background on pipes and piping. I was just thinking, as I was listening to him, he was saying, you know, piping is, there's something of the notion of the secret society about Illan Pipers, and I suppose there's a certain sort of truth in that. A piper, being the extraordinary instrument it is, a piper never knows from day to day, when he wakes up in the morning, just what the instrument is going to deliver to him or not that particular day. During the course of the music, I'll draw you into the world of pipes and piping, I hope. I'll begin with a piece of music which really demonstrates very well all the different areas of the pipes, if you like. It's a slow air tune, and you'll hear basically, as I say, how the different parts work, how the regulators, you can provide an accompaniment and so on to the tune. It's a tune I've known for years and years. It's called, in Irish, on Bóchal Caol Dubh, The Dark Slender Boy. Basically, the tune of a love song. Although there's a school of thought, apparently, that believes the Dark Slender Boy wasn't a tall, handsome youth, but a bottle of Guinness. So, I suppose that's a possibility as well. Here it is on Bóchal Caol Dubh. Thank you. Martin mentioned various pipers, three pipers, and I certainly consider myself very fortunate indeed to have known them and made great friends with each one of them. He mentioned Leo Rousham, he mentioned Willie Clancy and Seamus Ennis. And this next set of jigs, I remember Seamus Ennis back in, gosh, it seems a long time ago, sort of late 60s, early 70s. Seamus and I shared, together with my brother, we shared a house together in Dublin for a couple of years. During that time, Seamus was approached, I think it was by Gaelic Lynn, anyway, he was approached to put together a group of musicians who were going to launch their product in Dublin. Ennis was called upon to put together this band of musicians, and he asked me would I get involved, and the other man was fiddle player Sean Keane, who's with the Chieftains, and a great accordion player, a man named Tommy Grogan. And Ennis was always a great man for titles and for names, whether it was names of tunes or albums or whatever. And he came up with a great name for this, as he called it, the quartet, the Ha'penny Bridge Quartet. And we did two gigs in our time together. And the interesting thing was that in the gigs, Ennis, he didn't play the pipes, he played the fiddle. And he was a good fiddle player as well, because the Seamus's pipes were a low pitch. In fact, they're kind of a strange pitch, somewhere between C and D, but couldn't be played along with the concert pitch set of pipes. So I played the pipes, Ennis played the fiddle, and so did John, of course, and Tommy on the box. But two jigs we used to play. The first one was called Kitty's Rambles, and the second one is a tune called The Humours of Ennis Steinman. There's also mention of the great poet Seamus Heaney. And Seamus and I have been doing programs, if you like, together over the last 10 years or so. And it's something that we both enjoy doing a lot. We don't do it very often. I guess we want to try and keep it fresh for ourselves and fresh for audiences and so on. We recorded basically the type of thing, if you like, we do together, poetry and piping. And there was a CD released there, about 3 weeks or a month ago, simply entitled The Poet and the Piper. Simple enough formula, if you like. Seamus reads his poems, I play my music. And then he reads some more poems and I play some more music. And we enjoy it anyway. One of the tunes I recorded on that, on the whistle, is a tune that takes its name from a mountain near where, very close indeed, where Seamus grew up in South Derry. Seamus grew up on a farm, and the farm is overlooked by this lovely mountain called Sliabh Gallan. And there's a lovely song called Sliabh Gallan Braes. It's a song of emigration. And going back to the 18th century, there was a huge migration of people from there to America. It was the first major migration of Irish people to America, and caused, I suppose, mainly by religious persecution, economic distress, crops failing and high rents and all that sort of thing. And they were forced to leave. And this song, it's so typical of these songs of emigration. The sentiments are so powerful, and the tune is particularly powerful, I think. Somehow these simple tunes, they have an emotional intensity, really, which you know, exceeds what you'd expect from a tune of a very simple construction. Here it is, and I think it works particularly well on the whistle because it carries that very strong emotional intensity. Sliabh Gallan Braes.
Thank you.
This is another slow air tune. It's called Staker Wallace, or the Lament for Staker Wallace. It goes back actually to the end of the 18th century when an organization called the White Boys came into existence. It was a particularly, 18th century was a particularly awful time for in Irish history for the ordinary folk. They had basically lost everything, the right to own property, right of any form of expression or whatever. And the story behind the tune takes place, started in County Limerick, near the village of Kilfinnan, where this man Wallace came from. But the White Boys came into existence because the landlords were fencing off the only small bit of commonage the small farmers had. It meant total ruin altogether for the small farmers, so they assembled themselves, if you like, and at night time they would go out with sheets over their heads and root up the fencing. Hence they became known as the White Boys. But the organisation actually became very powerful, and it spread through Limerick, Tipperary, and over a large part of the country. And the landlords became very threatened by it, and they decided that this man, the instigator Wallace, would have to be caught and dealt with. And there's an amazing story about how it took ages for them to track him down. There's an amazing story about how they followed him with bloodhounds across this famous bog, the Red Bog, and eventually caught him, and he was brought into the jail of Kilfinnan, and he was tortured there for a week or something, and eventually he was beheaded, and his head was put on a stake on top of the jail of Kilfinnan, and of course hence the name Staker Wallace. But it was actually, there used to be words to it. I think there are like four lines or something left extant now. But it's an extraordinary tune, and I imagine it must have been an amazing song to hear it sung. So here's the tune of it anyway. The Lament for Staker Wallace. It's a set of reels. Willie Clancy's name was mentioned earlier, and indeed he was one of my great musical heroes. I got to know him, I guess, through my mother came from Milltown Malbay, so hence the connection with the Clare tradition. And in fact, Willie Clancy used to play this particular set of pipes, so there's a lot going on in there, I guess, of one sort or another. Here's a couple of reels, anyway, that Willie used to play. Somebody was asking me earlier if I play a tune called, has a terrific name, The Ace and Deuce of Pipering. And there's a couple of versions of it. And they chose to ask me to play the more awkward of the two. But it was kind of, I don't know why, regarded as a sort of a piping test piece.
I think the test is really in memory, because when I heard the tune first, I couldn't figure out which part went into which and the sort of the beginning from the end and all the rest of it. Really a strange tune, but we'll see what happens. The ace and juice of pipering. There's three parts in it, in case you fancy trying to count the parts in it or whatever. A jig tune. I remember the first time I heard it, and again, we have to say thank you to Willie Clancy for the tune. It was back in the sort of early, I don't know, maybe the second or third gathering of the Illan Pipers and the Peabody Illan, an organisation that came together in, I think it was 1968. But there used to be great gatherings once a year in Bettystown. But Willie, first time we heard him, none of us had heard this tune played, and it was an absolute revelation to us all. It's a powerful four-part jig. It was a clan march apparently. A lot of the old jigs were clan marches. And actually, during the 17th century, these clan marches were prohibited because of their association, I think, with the old Irish aristocracy and so on, considered to be seditious. This one is called the Humours of Ballylochlan, or sometimes called the Hurler's March. I'll end with two more reels. A tune associated with the great fiddle player Padraic O'Keefe. And it's known as Speed the Plough, or sometimes known as O'Keefe's Plough. Padraic O'Keefe was one of the great East Kerry fiddle players. A man who was, by all accounts, a fantastic character. He taught the fiddle. He was kind of, I suppose, one of the last of the, or maybe the last of the old fiddle masters. And Dennis Murphy, I suppose, was his star pupil. Before I do that, it's been really, as I said earlier, what a fantastic place to play music. And what a fantastic setting for this festival. There's a lovely intimacy about it, and that's the ideal setting for traditional music. The music in itself is such an intimate business, traditional music, and so it's really an ideal setting in which to make it all happen. So here's Padraic O'Keefe's Plough and Cornel Fraser.
Thank you.
talking about the slow air tunes from the Munster tunes, one of the great forms, if you like, of, forms of poetry, first of all, that came out of Munster was the Aisling during the 18th century. A whole new genre of poetry emerged. The Aisling basically was the kind of structure of it was the poet would go into a wooded area or maybe by a river, sit down, fall asleep, and have a dream, a vision. The vision was of a beautiful woman, and this woman was the spirit of Ireland, and he goes into great detail describing her beauty and so on. And they were written to be sung to existing tunes, and of course, as the richness, if you like, of the form, the poetic form grew, so the tunes likewise. I think this is one of the nicest of them. It's a tune called Cuish Awan na Shead, by the River of Gems.